Hello and welcome to a Project Love podcast show. And today we're going to be talking about a topic that we really get into on the Get Ready for Love course. And it is the topic of the shitty committee.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So the shitty committee is that voice that we all have in our head, the kind of critical voice that is always there, ready to tell you when it thinks you're doing something wrong, when you're not being good enough, or when you're being too much, or looking at the world in a critical way. It's just that kind of negative voice, fearful voice that holds us back in life. And actually, if you don't start identifying it and learning how to deal with it, it can have a huge impact on the course that your life takes. And so we're going to be talking today how the shitty committee can really affect your whole dating experience. Mm. So the degree to which you can actually enjoy dating, but also can affect the choices you make and the things that you do or the things that you don't do. So we're going to be starting off with having a look at the different kinds of things people's shitty committees tend to say to them when they are going through the whole dating experience. So I had, my God, when I was dating, I had my shitty committee was on freaking steroids, like the whole time, 24/7. The moment I woke up, the shitty committee was there, ready and waiting to tell me why I wasn't good enough, or I was too much, or why it wasn't going to work. And not only was it having a go at me and how crappy I was and unattractive and not the right person that men would be attracted to, and I was too too independent, or guys weren't attracted to women like me. I was too loud. I wasn't girly enough. I was too boyish. I wasn't attractive enough. I don't know. I mean, it came up, and it's constantly looking for evidence to back that up.
Yeah.
We'll talk a bit about that a bit more later on. But it was also looking at the men that were out there, and particularly single men, obviously.
Yeah.
And pointing out how they were clearly losers because they were single. Certainly if they were going on to an online dating site, definitely meant that there was something wrong with them. And if anyone was attracted to me, I mean, what was their problem? There was clearly something, some huge fault in them for finding me attractive. I mean, I just literally, the list just went on and on and on. So you might have a few of those ones, but Vicky, what do you tend to find clients of ours, people in the Get Ready for Love course, what do you tend to find that their shitty committee is quite often saying to them that's really sabotaging their whole approach to dating?
I think what it comes down to is this deep-rooted belief that you're not enough as you are. So you need to be more of this, or you need to be less of that. You need to change because as you are, you're not good enough, and men aren't going to find you attractive. They find other people attractive, but not you. So there is this kind of, this belief there that that is saying that you need to change. And when we're believing that, it kind of affects the whole course of, well, dating, but also the course of your life, because it leads to this pattern of perfectionism, this pattern of kind of performing and trying to kind of disguise who you are and act differently. So you're kind of then scared to really reveal your true self, because you think underneath it all, when you reveal your true self, they're not going to fancy
so
that
therefore,
person.
Yeah, so you're always compensating for not being good enough, which is what your belief is. And that is the problem with the shitty committee, is that it tells you these things as if it's the absolute truth.
Yeah.
And then it spends all its time pointing out things that back up, give this constant sort of huge bag of evidence that backs up the argument, so that you really start believing it. And when you start believing it, then that affects the way you act. It affects your choices. It affects the things you do or you don't do. So if you think you're not good enough, you're trying to overcompensate. And then you're kind of creating this weird version of yourself that isn't you. And that that's why I hated dating so much, because I was sitting in front of this person I didn't know, and I was having to, in a split second, figure out what they wanted, what they would find attractive. So I had to be this immediate mind reader, somehow have these like superpowers where I'd figure out what you wanted me to be like.
Yeah.
And then try and mold myself into that, like, right, be less this, be more that, they'll want this, they'll want less, like, keep that, hide that bit away.
Yeah.
It's like, let's make this up about you and put that forward. I wasn't lying. Yeah. But, well, in a way, I probably was, actually. I was lying about who I was.
It's like a recalibration, isn't it, in real time?
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to recalibrate me so that I fit into this mould that I think you are attracted to, because I've made assumptions about who you're attracted to.
I mean, it's no wonder I hated dating.
And yeah, no wonder a lot of people hate dating.
Yeah, because I think a lot of time we are doing that. And the other thing I think the shitty committee does is also it's playing that comparison game.
Yeah.
So that is where, you know, suddenly you're looking at people on Facebook and Instagram and going, oh, look at them, their wonderful lives and their wonderful clothes and, you know, and comparing yourself and constantly looking for evidence like, I'm not like that.
Yeah.
That's how I'm not good enough. Oh, yeah. Look, I'm not good enough like that or like that. And I mean, I used to have a terrible time for this when I was a lot younger. And I remember that was the shitty committee. It was like, you're never going to find someone because you're not as much as this as her or you're not as much as that as her. And so it was like, there was almost no point in playing the game because I was definitely going to lose it. And it was also, you know, the idea that my thing was I'm not attractive enough for the kind of guy that I want to be with. To be attracted to me. So it just felt like it was a dead end. So I might be going through the motions, and I think this is what a lot of people get stuck with, which is why our course is about getting ready for love. Because you can be going through the motions, you can be doing the dating, online dating, you can be on Tinder and swiping and doing all the rest and even going on dates. But if deep down you believe your shitty committee, and if that shitty committee voice is really loud and you haven't found a way to deal with it, and you haven't even identified that that's what's going on, you're just believing all this stuff, then you're never gonna see the people who actually are right for you. And even if someone wonderful turns up and is just like, you're amazing, I think you're incredible, you won't actually allow yourself to believe that, to be like, You can be then therefore sabotaging it.
Yeah.
Or actually you won't actually be able to receive love.
Yeah.
Because if you're saying, I'm not lovable, I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, a great guy isn't going to find me attractive. Then you either will just push those people away, or even if they manage to break through all of that, you won't be able to actually experience the love that they are offering you.
Yeah.
And it can, and also that, the shitty committee will continue on if, you know, you can manage to get into a relationship, will continue on into your relationship, and you won't actually be able to experience a really great relationship, which is ultimately, that's what we want for you, is to have a really great relationship. So how then do you first of all identify what the shitty committee is saying, and then how do we start dealing with it?
Well, I think dealing with it is about learning how to turn the volume down. But first of all, we need to turn the volume up to really hear what it's saying, to really get into it. And it's bound to make you feel a bit shit, which is why a lot of us don't tend to, you know, try and listen to this stuff. We try and just like ignore it and make it go away. But of course, if you ignore it, it just like gets stronger and stronger, and it becomes a much bigger force than if you actually just spend the time becoming really aware of what's going on, because this is all happening at a subconscious level. So it's about listening to what the shitty committee is saying about your reasons for not finding love, about the beliefs about yourself, the beliefs about men, your beliefs about dating, relationships. All of that stuff is all going on at this subconscious level, and we're not aware of it. So what we help women to do is to really become aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
Try and get these beliefs down. So it could be like, why do you feel that you're, what are the reasons that you have for you not finding love?
Yeah.
And it could be like, okay, yeah, there's this belief there that I'm not good enough, or I'm too picky, or I'm too independent, or I'm too, too successful. I'm alienating men because of that success, and men don't like that. They get scared of it. Getting it all down, and then one by one disprove those beliefs.
Yeah.
And how you disprove them is finding evidence to the contrary.
So then you need to get specific.
Yes.
Don't you? So let's use an example. Let's use one of my examples back in the day, which was all good guys are gone.
Yeah.
There are no good guys left who are single. The only ones that are left that are single are either losers.
And you call them wet.
Wet. I think he was remembering, I was like, oh, wet. They're just wet, wet men. Or really bad at relationships, or got loads of baggage, or, you know, and actually men, often what I hear when they're in their 30s, like, these women all want to have kids, so I'm going to have to go for the really young ones. Yeah. And then women in their 30s are like, all the guys my age are going for really young women because they're terrified we all want kids. So, first of all, where are you finding the evidence of this?
Yeah.
And so I would have gone, well, show me the last time I met someone who was single, who I found attractive, who found me attractive. And I would literally have gone back. And it's interesting because when you first asked me, I would have blanked out any single nice guys that I met. But if I didn't find them attractive, then I would also blank them out. So the first thing is to go, well, hang on a minute. Do you know any single guys? You don't have to fancy them.
Yeah.
But any single guys who you think are good guys? Well, yeah, all right. One of my best mates.
Yeah. Friend's brother.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or my cousin. Or even my brother. Or so-and-so. It's like, okay, well, fine. But I don't fancy any of them. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That wasn't what you said.
Yeah.
You weren't saying. And then you kind of got to catch yourself. You weren't saying that there aren't, you know, there aren't any good guys that I fancy. Well, that's because you haven't. Have you met every single man in the world?
Yeah.
No. Then how the hell can you say that?
Yeah.
So actually, the stuff the shitty committee is saying, it brings you evidence. You just swallow so quickly without going, well, hold on a second. Let's really dismantle this statement, this truth that you are living by.
Yeah.
And the problem was, if I was saying all the good guys are gone, therefore all the single guys are losers, wet, arseholes, whatever, just anything but good.
Yeah.
Then imagine what I was turning up with to a date.
Yeah.
And not giving someone a chance. And immediately the shitty committee's there going, oh, good, there's a signal, there's a sign that they're a bad guy, that they've got issues, that they're, you know, this or that or whatever. And so it's about really looking into it and starting to challenge yourself on it.
Yeah.
And then looking for the evidence as well. Well, hang on, what about, do you not know any good single guys? Mm-hmm. And if you really don't know, ask your friends. Ask, do you know any single guys? Not ones necessarily for me, but nice guys who happen to be single. They'll be like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or you would be hard pushed to go around your friends asking that and not to find one example. Mm. So, yeah, that is what you need to start doing, identifying what your shitty committee is saying and then challenging it and finding evidence to the contrary.
Yeah.
So we really get into this in the Get Ready for Love course.
And then we help clients form new beliefs that will empower them and support them. So then once you've done the work with that belief, it could be, okay, I need to adjust the wording here. So it's like, I haven't yet met, I know good guys are out there. I'm yet to meet one, you know, something
or
I'm
yet to meet one that I fancy because I will have identified that there are good guys out there.
Yeah.
And actually when I did that, that shifted me going, I gave myself that 30-day dating challenge.
Yeah.
I said, I want to go on 8 dates with good single men. So it didn't matter. I wasn't putting the pressure on, I have to fancy them, they have to be the one.
Yeah.
It's like, I just want to go on 8 dates with 8 eligible, nice guys.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And I didn't fancy all of them. But that didn't matter, because it was about actually recognising, do you know what? There's some really great guys out there. And when you focus on that and going on dates and having some nice conversations with nice guys, regardless if you fancy them, it shifted my experience of dating in such a phenomenal way that was one of the biggest transformations around dating I think that I went through, was challenging that perception and that assumption that my shitty committee was giving me.
Yeah, it's that belief change. And once you've changed that belief, because beliefs are like snowballs, we experience what we tell the mind we want to experience. So if we are starting with that new positive belief, then it will escalate and we'll find evidence to support that. So then that will become, as soon as we do meet more good guys in the future, whether we're attracted to them or not, it will help support that belief and it will reinforce that belief that yes, good guys are out there. And then that belief will become stronger and it does transform your whole experience of dating.
Now, this is the thing that Vicky's really good at, because she's the NLP queen. And it's interesting, actually, because I think it's good to just pause there for a moment and talk a bit around beliefs, because I think putting the hat of a cynic on, that I would be like, can you really just change your own belief? Can you really just change the way you think? But that is actually what NLP is all about, isn't
it?
And that you really can.
Well, ultimately, what are beliefs? Beliefs are thoughts. Every belief starts with one thought.
Yeah.
And that thought escalates. Well, it's like it forms a pattern of thinking, and that pattern, that's where the belief starts to form, because we've become so practiced at thinking something is the way that we think it is, and it becomes like a truth.
So you don't question it.
Yeah.
And so NLP, I guess, is about, is it about disrupting that thought pattern and creating a new one until that becomes the way that your mind goes?
Yeah, well, ultimately we have programmed ourselves to think and feel a certain way, and because a lot of this is all at subconscious level, we're not aware of all this, all of the thoughts and beliefs that we think. We just run on autopilot a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Which is why practices like meditation, very similar really to NLP, it's about connecting with your mind in a way that kind of gives you more freedom, because you're understanding what thoughts are there. Mm. You're not running an autopilot, you're becoming more mindful, you're becoming more present.
Bringing awareness to what is going on in your mind.
Yeah.
Okay. So that the final piece really is about then cultivating this other voice we also all have in our heads, but it's a much quieter one. Mm. So that is the wise, loving voice that is there to support you and to just give you loving encouragement, but also has that kind of wisdom to question where these beliefs are coming from and to not be so harsh on yourself and to treat yourself with love and kindness and respect. But of course it's not as frantic and frenetic and hyped up on steroids as the shitty committee usually is. It never will get into that zone. So actually meditation, again, is a great way of kind of bringing your attention to it, but also just stopping, slowing down, taking a breath, maybe journaling is one way of actually going, okay, imagine you've got this really loving, wise friend, what would they say to you? And actually that's one way of looking at it is, you know, if a friend of yours, think of one of the people you love most in the world, came to you and said, I really just don't think there's anyone out there for me, I think I'm never going to find love, dating's too hard, what advice would you give them? You'd use that loving, wise voice, wouldn't you? You wouldn't turn around and go, I think you're right, I think they're all gone, I think you're screwed, I think it's pointless, forget it, you may as well get a lot of cats and give up and just, you know, just accept
that. Resign yourself to that life.
Resign yourself to the fact that that is your fate, you were not born to meet someone, give it up, suck it up. You wouldn't say that, you would be like, you know what? And you would just give all sorts of other kind of loving loving advice and encouragement and support. And so that's what you need to start turning in on yourself rather than being tuned in all the time to the shitty committee. So it's the whole thing is like, we're not saying you get rid of the shitty committee altogether.
Yeah.
It's just about learning how to turn the volume of the shitty committee down and turn up the volume at that wise, loving voice who goes, hang on, so you say all the good guys are gone? Should we just stop for a moment and actually challenge that assumption?
Yeah.
And why would you be saying something like that to yourself? Yeah. Of course you're worthy of love, and of course you're going to find love. Just, you know, stop feeding yourself these ideas that it's never going to happen for you. That's just crazy. Mm. And if you need some help and support in helping you to get there, get that for yourself. And go and speak to your friends and tell them how you're feeling. And, you know, go and ask your support. You don't have to do this all on your own.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that loving wise voice.
I know. And we so often forget about that loving voice. And we were just talking before this podcast about it almost being like there's a cloak over this part of us. Like we have this loving part of us. Yeah. It's always there. But when we're in that kind of shitty committee space, you forget about that loving wise voice.
Totally.
And I think there's something to be said about creating the right conditions for that loving voice to come out.
Remind yourself.
Yeah, just keep reminding yourself of that feeling. I read a quote about happiness once. It said something like, happiness is formed when we have the right conditions in place for happiness to thrive, or something like that. And it's about creating those conditions for yourself. So as you were saying, meditation and journaling are just some of the ways that you can get into that space. Yeah. And it's once you've created the right conditions for that to come, you connect with it so deeply, and it's like, oh, this was always here.
Yeah.
Because it's a part of us. This wise voice is a part of us. And as much as the shitty committee is part of us, it is like a dance, isn't it? It's like a waltz.
Yeah.
It's like, right, okay, I've got to spend a bit of time here because it's still a part of me, but I know that loving voice needs to keep coming back, and I need to keep reminding myself of that too.
Yeah, Liz Gilbert has a wonderful way of talking about what is essentially the shitty committee, and she names it for what it really is, which is fear. And she talks about it in terms of, you know, the creative process. When you start a creative journey and you say, right, I've had this idea, and I'm going to bring it to life, I'm going to make it happen. And that puts you immediately in a very vulnerable space. The shitty committee or fear suddenly ramps up its volume. And so she always looks at herself in terms of any creative project, and you can look at data in exactly the same way. Mm. She starts a creative project and she goes, right, it's me, creativity and fear. And she starts by having a word with fear. She says, look, I know that you are part of this journey. You're going to be here. So it's the three of us together. She said, so you are welcome in this car on this journey. Yeah. But there are a few ground rules. Number one, you don't get to do any of the map reading. You don't get to say where we go, what direction we go in. You certainly don't get to take the wheel. You don't even get to decide what radio station we're going to listen to. But I understand why you're here. And so she has this lovely, compassionate approach to fear. And she understands, I know you're trying to protect me. And I know that you think the best way to keep me safe is to keep me playing within those little boundaries that I know, because familiarity is the thing that's safe. And I understand that that is your agenda, is just to keep me safe as possible. But I need to do this. And I want to bring something new into my life. And in order to do that, I need to step into the unknown. So I get why you're here. I get you have to come along on this journey, but you're just not going to call any of the shots. And so it's a really lovely way of looking at the shitty committee without feeling like you have to attack it or get rid of it, because it's always going to be there. So you bring allowance, you allow it to be there, but you also have some ground rules and say you're not touching anything or deciding any direction we go in, so that you are no longer leading the way and making your choices from a place of fear, which is what the shitty committee is all about. But you are coming from a place of love and taking your choices from there. So that brings us to the end of today's podcast. So if you want to go deeper into this topic and really identify what your shitty committee is saying and how it is getting in the way of you finding love and then finding ways of dealing with it, then come and join us on the Get Ready for Love course. Head over to our website and you'll be able to sign up and start today.